listener production.
Sellers continue to have the edge on Wall Street with technology names losing ground.
And Australian investors await the key job figures later this morning.
I'm Tom.
I'm Craig.
It's Thursday, the 18th of April. Welcome to the CommSec Market Update. And indeed, welcome Craig James for a guest appearance in the morning.
Bright and early, I'm getting the sleep out of my eyes.
Craig, I know that you don't form sleep in your eyes because you sleep with your eyes open and you're just waiting for that moment when you can get to work and analyse the markets.
I am indeed.
What are the key insights that have passed your desk this morning?
There's still a degree of a lack of confidence, I think, in terms of investors at the moment. We've got the US markets, which are lower. European markets are slightly higher. Treading water, waiting for the next shoe to drop and provide direction. And very much the technology names were out of favour overnight.
And I think you make a very good point in terms of the overall tone for the markets. There is a wariness. People are concerned about the move higher for interest rates lately, and that probably was best reflected in the performance of the NASDAQ overnight. It finished down by 1%. The S&P 500 shed almost a half of 1%, not quite, down 0.4%. And the Dow Jones was largely flat. But I think what was interesting, you saw the NASDAQ down by a decent clip. Obviously, technology names were leading the way. But we actually saw a bit of a moderation where government bond yields are concerned or long-term interest rates. So a two-year government bond actually down by a reasonable margin, 6 basis points to 4.93. So well away from that 5% level, which tends to see investors break out in hives. A 10-year government bond down by 8 basis points. That's a decent move lower to 4.59. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm not sure what influence the beige book had or whether it was just a degree of profit-taking yesterday by investors in the bond market.
Let's just quickly reflect on the beige book because it's probably undersold by that title. The beige book, back in the day, Craig, you would have remembered where this was quite an eagerly awaited piece of information.
Mm-hmm.
And it is essentially a document produced by the US Federal Reserve because many might not know that the Federal Reserve is comprised of 12 different districts across the country. And each of those districts hand in a report on what's happening in their little neck of the woods. It's compiled to form the beige book. It covers a whole range of discussions. There are market experts, there are community outreach programs with businesses and all of that sort of thing. Before the internet, this was one of the ways that you got a grassroots appreciation of what was going on in the US economy.
And it's a little bit different to some of the other data that we look at where it's the facts and figures that we look at. This is more a qualitative rather than a quantitative assessment.
It's a chat, isn't it?
A chat on the US economy. And it said that the economy grew slightly over the past 6 weeks. Employment has had slight gains over that period of time, and there were modest price increases. So the tone of the language, which is so important, and that shows that the US economy is not barreling higher. It's actually only modestly rising, and that provided some hope for those expecting a rate cut by the end of the year.
It's an important distinction to make when you put it up against what the water cooler conversation has been like over the course of the last couple of weeks. That's been, quite breathless and high-pitched in terms of, rates are out of control. But if you get the tone, as you rightly point out, of this beige book, it's suggesting that things are improving at a moderate pace, which is perhaps at the margins contributing to that fall in long-term interest rates. So head to the US Federal Reserve's website and have a look at the beige book. It's a nice step through what's going on in economic and business terms, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very readable document. Yes.
We've probably spent more time on the beige book than I would have ever estimated, but nonetheless, what happened in Stockland, because there was quite a bit going on there, Craig. You're too fit to suffer from sleep apnea, but many do. And Eli Lilly had some good news last night.
It reported that its Zepbound weight loss drug may assist patients with sleep apnea. Now, that may be good for Eli Lilly and its future fortunes, and its share price was up by around about 0.5% overnight. But makers of rival sleep apnea treatments didn't fare so well.
Like the more mechanical versions.
Indeed.
Where you sort of attach scuba equipment before you sort of head under the doona for the night.
Those provided by ResMed, amongst others. And ResMed, its share price down in the order of 5.7%, so they weren't taking the news very positively.
They weren't, and you'd be wary of how ResMed is going to obviously shape up in today's trade as well. So I suppose whilst the improvement for Eli Lilly overnight was only modest, in year-to-date terms, that stock is up by about 25%. And I suppose what the key here is that you are seeing an expansion of where these weight loss drugs can be applied. Previously, these drugs were only used for diabetics. Now you have seen them treating weight loss. The US FDA recently approved Wegovy for lowering the incidence of heart attack and stroke in obese adults who don't have diabetes, right? So that addressable market, if you like, is expanding. And that's important, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, and I read recently, even in terms of Parkinson's disease, that these weight loss drugs may offer to some degree of help. So it is quite an amazing thing that these drugs can be seen to be providing benefit to a broad range of illnesses.
To a slightly different sphere, United Airlines, a bit of a standout last night. The shares rose by the better part of 20%, up by 18%. They posted a much smaller loss than what the market was expecting. So their earnings per share loss came in at 15 cents. The market was looking at something closer to 60 cents. You've got to remember, this is the organization that owns Alaska Air. And the last thing you want is things falling off your aeroplane up in the air. And that's precisely what happened with Air Alaska. And they said that the impact of the whole Boeing issue wasn't as significant. And importantly, they reaffirmed their full-year guidance. And the turnaround is, I suppose, what is impressing investors, because their pre-tax loss was almost $100 million better than it was this same time last year. So let's just quickly reflect on what happened in Europe. Nothing terribly much to mention in dispatches other than the fact that UK inflation numbers were a bit better than expected.
Yes, UK inflation in the month of March was down by 3.4% down to 3.2%. Market was looking for something in the region of 3.1%, but it wasn't too far away. And this is the lowest inflation reading since September 2021. Now they've got a rate of inflation below that of the United States. So that's something that they can feather in the cap for the UK.
So in an environment where investors are pricing out rate cuts, this doesn't antagonise the outlook for rate cuts in Europe specifically, because we heard from Madame Lagarde at the ECB yesterday saying that June rate cut's still on the cards. So this helped the FTSE. It was up by 0.33%. The German DAX was just in positive territory. The French market was ahead by 0.33%, and the Stock 600 index was just in positive territory. But Craig, today, as far as the local experience is concerned, it's all about the employment figures.
They have been very, very volatile in past months. We've also seen the unemployment rate has gone from 3.9% up to 4.1%, down to 3.7% in February. So the volatility is something which we've got to get our heads around. And probably the best way to read the figures today is to average out the last 3 or 4 months and to get an idea of the trend.
As far as the point of friction for the markets is concerned, Craig, what is a number that's going to move the needle for you?
If we see continued strong growth, something in the order of 30, 40, 50,000 in terms of jobs, that'll suggest that we're not going to see a rate cut any time soon, particularly if we see further tightening of the job market. 3.7% we've got in terms of the jobless rate in February. If we see move back to 3.6 or 3.5, that'd certainly throw the cat amongst the pigeons
indeed,
in terms of those expecting rate cuts later this year.
As I said, the futures are pointing to a flat start. We've got quite a bit of corporate news today. AMP, BHP, Challenger, Growthpoint Properties, Santos, Transurban, Yancoal, they will all be providing quarterly updates. We've got the Reject Shop trading ex-dividend this morning, and we've also got the Aussie dollar trading at 64.3 US cents. Craig, it's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much.
Have a great day.
Bye.
This podcast is prepared, approved, and distributed in Australia by Commonwealth Securities Limited, ABN 60067254399, AFSL 238814. The information does not take into consideration your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Consider the appropriateness of the information before acting, and if necessary, seek appropriate professional advice. Listener.